Good morning and welcome to this online service. Being the fifth Sunday of the month, we follow the order of morning prayer and the litany.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Hymn 346, Angel Voices Ever Singing Round Thy Throne of Light. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father,
we have sinned
against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
On page 120, the Canticle Jubilate. Joyful in the Lord,
Lord, he lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness,
and come before his presence in a song. Be sure that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us not only ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his.
The psalm appointed for this morning is number 45, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. My heart is astir with gracious words.
As I make my song for the king, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer.
You are the fairest of men.
Full of grace are your lips, for God has blessed you forever.
Your throne is God's throne forever.
The scepter of your kingdom is the scepter of righteousness.
You love righteousness and hate iniquity.
Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows.
All your garments are fragrant with myrrh, alloys and cassia.
From ivory palaces, the music of strings makes you glad.
King's daughters are among your honourable women.
At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. A reading from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
On page 130, the canticle, Herbs Fortitudinis. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered round him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honours me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is written from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." On page 122, the canticle, Benedictus. I believe in God.
I believe in God.
The Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
The Collect of the Day. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you, through him who is lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
O God.
O God,
the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord,
O Lord,
our heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From Thanks and Praise, hymn number 11, Before the Throne of God Above.
Praise whose name is love, forever lives and lives. Christ, my Saviour and my God.
Let us pray in the words of the Litany on page 175. God the Father, Creator of heaven and earth,
have mercy on us.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God the Holy Spirit, Giver of life,
have mercy on us.
Holy, blessed and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God,
have mercy on us.
Save us, good Lord, from all sin and wickedness, from pride, hypocrisy and conceit, from envy, hatred and malice, and all uncharitableness.
Save us, good Lord.
From sins of thought, word, and deed, from the lusts of the flesh, from the deceits of the world, and the snares of the devil.
Save us, good Lord.
From fire, storm, and flood, from disease, pestilence, and want, from war and murder, and from dying unprepared.
Save us, good Lord.
From all false doctrine, from hardness of heart, from contempt of your word and commandment, and from the evil of schism.
Save us, good Lord.
In times of sorrow and in times of joy, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Save us, good Lord.
Save us, Lord Christ, by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your birth, childhood and obedience, by your baptism, fasting and temptation.
Save us, Lord Christ.
By your ministry in word and work, by your mighty acts of power, and by your preaching of the kingdom.
Save us, Lord Christ.
By your agony and trial, by your cross and passion, and by your precious death and burial.
Save us, Lord Christ.
By your mighty resurrection, by your glorious ascension, and by your sending of the Holy Spirit.
Save us, Lord Christ.
Hear us, good Lord. Govern and direct your holy church, fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is your will.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give your church courage to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give knowledge and understanding to bishops, priests, and deacons, that by their life and teaching they may proclaim your word.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give all people grace to receive your word and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bring all who have erred and are deceived into the way of truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Guard and bless our rulers, especially Elizabeth our Queen, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State Brandon Lewis and the government, the First Minister Paul Given, Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill and the Executive. Also President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste de Leo Varadkar and Government in the Republic, and grant that they may trust in you and seek your honour and glory.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless our country and give grace, wisdom and understanding to all in authority.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless the European nations and draw us closer to one another in justice and freedom.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless those who administer the law, that they may uphold justice in honesty and truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and keep all who maintain peace and safety.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give to Afghanistan and all nations unity, peace, and concord.
Hear us, good Lord.
Strengthen the faithful, comfort and help the faint-hearted, raise up those who fall, and drive out all evil.
Hear us, good Lord.
Support and encourage all who are in poverty, unemployment, or distress. Protect those whose work is dangerous, and keep in safety all who travel.
Hear us, good Lord.
Keep fathers, mothers, and children united in their family life, and give them wisdom and strength in times of stress.
Hear us, good Lord.
Heal the sick. Care for the old and lonely, and comfort the bereaved.
Hear us, good Lord.
Remember the poor who long to hear good news. Give us the will to strengthen them through acts of generous love.
Hear us, good Lord.
Show your pity on victims of strife, on the homeless and the hungry, on prisoners, and on all who live in fear.
Hear us, good Lord.
Forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and turn their hearts.
Hear us, good Lord.
Guide and direct all who influence others through the written or the spoken word, and inspire all who serve mankind in science, industry, and art.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and keep all your people.
Hear us, good Lord.
Teach us to use the resources of the earth to your glory, that all may share in your goodness and praise you for your loving kindness.
Hear us, good Lord.
Saviour of the world, forgive our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may amend our lives according to your holy word, and share with all your people the joys of your eternal kingdom. Jesus, Lamb of God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, bearer of our sins,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, Redeemer of the world,
give us your peace.
The hymn, I Vow to Thee, My Country, All Earthly Things Above.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The church is full of hypocrites. Have you ever heard that? I certainly have. And it usually comes from people who are anxious to justify the neglect of their own religious duties by having a go at church people. At first glance, it seems a well-aimed attack. After all, Jesus is very hard on hypocrites. In fact, he is harder on them than he is on anybody else. And earlier, we encountered a good example of that in the New Testament reading, where Jesus once more climbs all over the Pharisees and the scribes, the official religious leaders of the day. So, if the church really is full of hypocrites, we have a problem. But perhaps it's a good idea to take a minute and look at what Jesus was talking about when he talked about hypocrites. This is one of those words that is surprisingly hard to get a grip on, and that we need to spend a little extra time with. What we usually mean when we use the word is most likely not what Jesus meant when he used it. Today's dictionary says that hypocrites are people who are playing a part, people who deliberately pretend to have beliefs and virtues that they, in fact, do not have at all, and which the hypocrites both know they don't have and don't particularly want to have. Hypocrites in this sense are people who are, shall we say, faking it, and who know they are faking it. The point is deception. In fact, the word comes from acting a part in a play. Hypocrisy in this sense is really vicious. It's a misuse of religious faith, and it mocks God and his church. Doubtless it greatly grieves the Lord. But two other things need to be said about this sense of hypocrisy. First, the church is not full of this type of hypocrite, and secondly, this isn't what Jesus was talking about anyway. About the first thing, well, it just isn't true. Most church people, indeed virtually all the church people I know, believe what they say they believe, or they want to believe it, or they are trying to believe it, or they wish they could believe it. And truth be told, that's as good as it gets. In the same way, most church people I encounter are living by their best take on the moral precepts of our faith, or they are trying to, or they want to, or they know deeply both the struggle that comes with contending with God and the weight of judgment that brings. Nobody gets it right all the time. Everybody gets it wrong more often than necessary. Anybody and everybody can do better. But outright, deliberate faking the whole business to seem good while planning to be bad, this is rare. And I believe we ought to realize that and say that and celebrate that. The church is not full of that type of hypocrite. The church is full of sinners. But that is another matter entirely, and that's as it should be. Now, in the light of all that, I'm not sure whether it is good news or not that when Jesus condemned hypocrites and hypocrisy, he was not talking about this, but about something else. You see, the notion of acting a part was a Greek notion, and there are really no Hebrew or Aramaic parallels to this idea of hypocrisy. So we don't know what Aramaic word Jesus used that the Gospel writers translated as the Greek word hypocrite. Still, the best way I know to get at what Jesus was probably talking about is by way of an old Zen story. Once upon a time, the great Zen master Sasha was standing with a friend at the top of a tall tower. His friend looked down the road and saw a line of saffron-robed monks walking towards them. "Look," his friend said to Sasha, "holy men." "Those aren't holy men," Sasha said, "and I can prove it to you." So they waited in silence until the monks were walking directly below the tower. Then Sasha leaned over the tower's rail and called down, "Hey, holy men!" The monks all looked up, and Sasha turned to his friend and said, "See?" Those monks were exactly what Jesus meant when he talked about hypocrites. So were the Pharisees and scribes. Jesus does not attack the Pharisees and scribes for pretending to be good when they were really evil. The vast majority of them were not evil. Instead, Jesus castigates them because their self-righteous convictions about their own goodness had built a smug wall around them, isolated them from the rest of the community, and made them deaf to any further word from God. The Pharisees kept the law, and keeping the law, the moral law and the religious law, is a good thing. We should do that. But to believe and act like your own righteousness in the sight of God comes to you because you keep the law. This is absolutely deadly, and it is the heart of what Jesus means by hypocrisy. To cultivate within oneself moral virtues and behavior which not everyone around one cultivates is again a good thing. Indeed, it is a distinctive mark of the Christian life. But to believe and act like one's own righteousness in the sight of God comes to one because one is more virtuous than most people one knows, or more virtuous than some other group, or some specific other person. This is what Jesus insisted was far more evil than the particulars of any individual sinner. There is only one place to look if we want to find out how good we are or how righteous we are. Only one place. That place is God. God's absolute goodness. God's absolute justice. God's absolute demands. And finally, God's absolute love and mercy. If we look to ourselves for our righteousness, if we look to the things we have done, or the rules we have kept, or the law we obey, if we look to the failings of others and say, "At least I'm not like them," if we do that, if we try to find in ourselves or in others the answer to how good we are or how righteous we are, if we do that, then we are who Jesus is talking about when he talks about hypocrites. To be sure, it's a good and important thing to obey the law and live the life we are called to live. None of this talk of hypocrisy excuses moral or religious failing, nor does it mean that the way we behave doesn't matter. The way we behave matters a lot, for a bunch of reasons. The book Deuteronomy today talks about how God's people are to live in such a way that the world around them can look at them and be drawn to God. And St. Paul talks about how every speck of virtue we can nurture is absolutely essential if we are to live our calling. At the same time, when Jesus condemns the hypocrites, he is not talking about evil people who pretend. He is talking about well-behaved people who trust in themselves, who consider themselves finished products, and so cannot see or hear either themselves or God very well. Now, I don't honestly think the church is particularly full of this sort of hypocrite either. But we are far from immune, and Jesus thought it was dreadfully important, so we have to pay especially close attention and keep alert. Remember Sasha in the tower and those monks? And remember that our trust and our hope and our confidence can be found in only one place. It is never in ourselves. It is always in the love and the mercy of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn 605. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Hymn 599, Take Up Thy Cross, the Saviour said. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We thank you for your presence with us today and appreciate your participation in this online service. We trust that you are enjoying this bank holiday weekend. Later in the week, our schools will be resuming following the summer holiday. We wish both teachers and pupils well as they resume their classes and various activities. This week there will be the Diocesan Bible Week. Details of this may be found in the current edition of the Parish Magazine or on the Diocesan website. The speaker this year will be the Reverend Mark Aldridge, who will lead us in four studies in Jonah under the title A Confident Church. Mark is an assistant national leader for New Wine and director of Church Leadership Development. On Tuesday evening, there will be an online session for select vestry members only, entitled Running from the Call of God,
based on Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to chapter 2, verse 7. There will be in-person talks at Shankill Parish Church, Lurgan, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, when everyone is welcome, though it is important to register beforehand. This may be done on the diocesan website. Each evening, of course, will also be shared live via social media. On Wednesday evening, the title of the session is Grace, Resurrection, and a Bolder Confidence. On Thursday, Confidence in the Toughest Places. And on Friday, Confidence in the Compassion of God. Do please plan to join other members of the diocese in observing this year's Bible Week. Sunday next is the 14th Sunday after Trinity. There will be an in-church service in both Annahilt and Mara Hamlet, 10 o'clock in Annahilt, 12 noon in Mara Hamlet. Both services will be parish communion. There will also be an online service from 10 o'clock. Thank you.